It's supposed to be together, Chevra. Tayyam has that entire Berditchever. It's going back and forth in my head. What Torah to share tonight? You see, no, I prepared which Torah I thought I was going to share. But then in my drive over here from DRS a few minutes ago, the Rebbe Nishan was telling me, I think, to talk about other inyanim. And there's so much Torah to share to prepare for the Heilig Yontov. Maybe just sit here for a few hours and give a few different shiurim. No one feel pressure, I didn't mean that. But maybe. For who would want. I think the Torah that was prepared has to be said over. There's very deep ideas that the Neshama wants to share with you. But I have to start just with one idea. And this, I was going to give an entire shiur on this. And everybody knows of the most important yisodos of Purim is achdus v'reis. Is achdus v'reis, is oneness, is unity, is care for each other. Haman HaRasha goes to Achashverosh when he wants to destroy Klal Yisrael yeshno amechad mefuzo mefurad ben agoyim. Pashup shat. We have this nation that's dispersed throughout the nation, just like we are today in Galus. They were in Galus after Churban Bais Rishon. But we all understand Yeshna Amecha Mefuzer Mefurud means that they themselves, Klal Yisrael, didn't have the proper achdus, didn't have the proper unity. They were Mefuzer Mefurud. And that's when Haman said we could get them. Because when we don't have achdus, we're prone to be defeated. When we're one, Hashem, our Tat in Himmel, is so besimcha with His children being one, that nobody could touch us. And nothing could touch us. And that's why Esther Malka understood that if there needs to be, what the yisod that needs to be done to bring about Yeshua is leich kanois, is called Yehudim. Bring achdus v'reis. Bring a oneness, gather together in big groups, gather together. And that brought about Yeshua and brought about the Geula. You know, obviously everybody over this past week specifically, and even prior to that for a while, but specifically this past week, I don't know if anyone went 5 minutes without talking about the coronavirus. Definitely those of you here that are in YU, but I think all of us. Hopefully when we were mamish sitting and learning, we weren't talking about it, but we were probably still thinking about it. If we were honest. And I'm not here, everybody has their own feelings and their own thoughts. How serious it really is, how not serious it really is. Everybody, there's a million different opinions out there. We've all heard them. From the most extreme to the, in the on each side. To those who argue this is mamish, nothing, it's like less than a common cold. To those who argue that it's mamish, the scariest magefa of all time. You know, you have, and everyone else in between. And clearly there are many steps that are taken that should be taken. There are clearly many precautionary steps that are taken. I mean, most people are just saying, be properly hygienic like we always should be. Like, but okay, I'm even yavin. Like, it's always a good thing to wash your hands after you use the bathroom, you know? It's like, that's not, I don't know why that's a big chiddush suddenly, you should use soap, you know? Anyways, Lameisa, that's not what I want to hear talk about right now. But what I've noticed, there's no question. First of all, anytime something is big in the world, each and every one of us is supposed to be doing cheshbon and nefesh, and realizing it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. To each and every one of us. And what is he saying to us that I deeply believe? I want you to know what I believe. If we just understood very quickly in a few different Torahs, maybe we'll talk more, how Purim is all about Achdus V'Reis. What is this virus, the coronavirus, what is it doing? First of all, clearly, at least in our area, in the New York tri-state area, we clearly, forget about it happening to the world, it's clearly hitting the our from Orthodox world, where the large majority of cases are Yidden, are from Yidden. And not just from Yidden in the modern Orthodox world that we all come from, wherever we are today, that's another discussion. But where we all come from in this room. So it has to hit us hard. And we have to do, not just hit us hard and so I should be more afraid, or whether I am or I'm not, but hit me hard in a way that I should do more of a cheshbon nefesh. And if we haven't done that, we've just spoken about it. And who's, do I shake hands, or do I knock elbows, or do I hug, or do I kiss a mezuzah? If we're just talking about the hak, but haven't done cheshbon nefesh, then we're missing the boat. We're missing the boat. Because Baruch is clearly sending us a message. And I'll tell you a message I believe. And I've given a lot of thought. Last night, Rav Israel Kushner, he reached out to me how hurt he was and how sad he was for the Yidden, for the Jews in the Talmidim in YU. Who, let's be real, one time a year there's real Ruchnius, real Kedusha. In such a way that Mesiba and YU is something, Me'en Olam Haba, really is. I've had the schus to be there many times. Even for years after I was learned in YU, every year I used to go back to YU Mesiba for many, many, many years to dance with my Rabbeim, to dance with Rav Yitzchak Kohn Shlit, to dance with Rav Yaakov Neuberger Shlit, to dance with my Talmidim. And it's Me'en Olam Haba. It's a very special night. You feel it there. You really feel it there. And for that to be cancelled, and he was hurt, and he was sad, and he was worried about the Talmidim. Where are they going to have a perm? And then many I heard many of Rabbeim and other perm sudas were canceled as well. That's what I've heard. But clearly, then that's in the YU, which is of the biggest religious institutions in our world that we have. And then you go to other places, Makomos, and places for sure this has been hit hard, and shuls are closed down, and not going to have Mikra Megillah, not going to have Zohar. And not going to have the, and shul after shul, you see, have canceled their Purim parties, their Purim mesibas. And I'm not here to say whether they're wrong or right. That's not what this is about. But to realize there are, I don't know what number, 1,000, 2,000, I don't know, 1,000, there are Jews, many, many, many Jews that are in quarantine, that are not allowed to go to hear Megillah, that are not allowed to go hear Parshas Zachar, they're not allowed to go to another Suda. Which means what? Purim, and not just Purim, the Achdus and Reis of Purim, the unity of Purim, the oneness of Purim, is being ripped away from many Yidden in Klal Yisrael. And that's scary. We have to do introspection and understand there's something to that. Because Baruch will make many Yidden that they're going to be alone for Purim, that they can't bring someone else, they can't give a Shalach Manos to another Yid. They can't give Matanos to Yonim. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we can make Matanos to Yonim through other ways, you know, making someone a shliach, as well, obviously, but they can't go and deliver a shalach manos to their friend and say, I love you, I care about you. They can't go barava, baroivam, and go to Megillah reading together, be mefursim, parsume nisa, as a klal Yisrael. The communities where people can't do that this year. That there isn't a Purim, why you mesiba, mam, is just scary. That, okay, Baruch Hashem, so hopefully, Bez Hashem's things should stay calm. All of us over here, please are welcome to come to the DRS Masiba. We're going to rock it up this year, and it'll be Me'en Olam Haba. And obviously, Purim here, like usual, on Tuesday night, we'll go all night. We'll have to go just give more, Bez Hashem. We'll send out all the texts with all the details of the... I mean, they're only tentative times anyways, but on early next week. But I think we have to take that to heart, take this to heart. And make cheshbon nefesh that seemingly, if the Eibishter is taking this away from our brothers and sisters, it means that we have to look in the mirror and work on our achdus, and work on our ass, and not just on a Purim. Not just on a Purim. A few weeks ago, I had the schus to be in Edison, New Jersey for Shabbos. It was such a beautiful Shabbos. You know what's so beautiful? The Yidden were so friendly. We're so nice. We're so warm. We're so non-judgmental. It was awesome. You know what's so sad? That was a chiddush. That was a chiddush. That I have to feel this is awesome because people are nice. This is incredible because people are welcoming. People actually come over and talk to you and say, good Shabbos. What's your name? Who are you? What's... Here, in our community, you got people living next door to each other for 10 years. They don't even know each other's names. Mamish. Trust me. You got people sitting in shul next to each other. And mamish have not said more than just good Shabbos to each other. And of course, okay, because we don't talk during davening. I'm not talking about during davening. What about after davening? And unfortunately, there's too much talking during davening, so that's not even true. We need a look in the mirror. And we need to understand there's a lacking of Achtus V'Reis. And if Hashem's hitting us in this place this year, it's a cheshbon nefesh we need to take. And not just for Purim, that Purim Baruch Hashem Yidden understand, and they get together, and we dance together. It's like funny to me. Everybody is very careful, and not everybody. Some people not to shake hands and not to this. Purim's gonna come. Let's be real. We're all gonna be holding hands, dancing in the circle. I hope. I hope. We're one. We're brothers. We're sisters. Obviously, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, in certain communities, when there's a psak and this can't be done, but that's the sadness. That's what we have to take to heart and realize. If the Yidden can't dance together in certain places, that's very scary and that's very sad. Mm-hmm. And that's for us too as well here, who Baruch Hashem, we can, but to look in the mirror at ourselves. We're part of this. And we need to work on our midos and our Beinonu M'chaveiro. And I think there's no question, if you get it, I think there's no question that's why, you know, we always talk here. I'm telling you, the chevra can see later. I did prepare an entire shiur for tonight. And again, if you guys want to stay late, we'll learn later that shiur. But I think we need to talk about the Torah. You open up this week's parasha Tetzaveh. And we always talk at this table, like the Babbitcher Rebbe said, you have to live with the parasha. And all the Kiddush and Bracha of upcoming week comes from the Shabbos beforehand. So all, imagine, Chevra, this Shabbos, Layla Layla, all the Kiddush and Bracha of the Halig of Purim, of Monday night, of Tuesday night, of Wednesday, Shushan Purim Vada, all of it is coming from this Shabbos. So what's the first pasuk in this week's parasha? What's the very beginning? Because it's mamish, the very beginning of parasha, you're going to tell us all the kedusha of Purim. V'atot tetzav ben Yisrael v'yikchu elech Hashem en zayis zach. And it's a pella. You know what this is talking about, Chavra? I know these, again, I mentioned this last week, and as Chataya Nin Masker Yom, I'm part of this. We're all so into our learning of Inyanei Purim and our chanas for Purim that we tend to put the parshas to the side these weeks. Now the Chevron Wayu, Hashem blessed you and gave you all the time in the world these days. So hopefully you had enough time to also be Mayan in the parasha. But for the rest of us, I don't know. You know what's going on at the beginning of this week's parasha? So Bnei Yisrael's commanded to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu oil. Why are they bringing it to Moshe Rabbeinu? They're bringing it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, Chevron. Because Moshe Rabbeinu then is going to take this oil and anoint Aaron and his children as the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol, to work in the Mishkan. Chavir, let me explain to you something. Imagine the following. You know, tonight, the reason I wanted to start here early, because I thought we'd be able to, based on the Wayu Chavir being around, and also I thought we'd be able to start senior chizuk early, because there was a big DRS semifinal hockey game. And if it would have ended in regular time, it would have been over early enough that we would have pushed up senior chizuk and pushed up this year. Ended up going into double overtime. And we beat our opponents, the Hafter Hawks.
And we're going to the championship. Whether that championship, who knows when that will be played with these situations going on. But it was very exciting. So we had to push off Senior Chizik, but I wasn't vadid. Baruch Hashem, so beautiful. Senior Chizik, 5, 6 of the main players on the team, seniors, came straight to Senior Chizik in their uniforms, sweaty, to sit and learn. It was beautiful. Such Chizik, mitamida yosem mikulam. But imagine the following. What I'm about to say didn't happen, it doesn't happen. But imagine tonight, and that the minog was, just for winning a semifinal game, you get a trophy. Now again, we don't do that. You don't get a trophy until you win the championships. Well, the truth is you do get a trophy because the second place team gets a trophy always, which they have to break and throw in the garbage and, you know, do a whole entire, some sort of scenes of a desire with it. I don't know. But Lameisa, tonight there were no trophies given out. But imagine if there were trophies going out. So we had this game. We're playing half. It's bad. It's a crazy emotional game, obviously, for these guys. And we beat them in double overtime. Imagine if this happened. Not only does the winning team of the semifinal game get a trophy, the minog, imagine if the minog was, the losing opponent has to present the trophy to the winner. Imagine, so these players just gave their heart and soul, they're seniors, it's their last hockey game. Let's be real, they're playing hockey, it's not even a real sport, they're never going to play again. You know, so it's the last time they're ever playing hockey. They led floor hockey, you know, let's be real. So, and now they have to, Moshe, I'm sorry, I know, he still feels it. But, Lameisa, imagine, Shleimela, you miss it? You enjoy ice hockey, let's be real. This is you wouldn't go back to playing floor hockey. Okay, anyways, listen. Okay, imagine the following. Imagine if the losing team had to present trophies to the winning team. So tonight, losing in double overtime, the Afterhawks would have had to have presented the DRS team with their trophies. That would be disgusting. Be a sick thing to do to that team. I would venture to say the DRS players, as happy as they were winning the game, they'd even feel bad receiving a trophy from the losing team. It's mamish, you feel bad for them. It's sad. How do you do that to them? It's mamish, you know, it's like you stick the knife in and move it around. It's like you wouldn't do such a thing. However, if we understand, I'm not going to go through all the tires of it now, but Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the one that's Makrif Karbonos, and Lefnai V'Lefnim in Kodesh Kedoshim. And it was taken away from him. He lost it. Who became the Kohen Gadol? His brother Aaron. It was given to Aaron. We all know this. So imagine, not only did Hashem punish Moshe and take away the Kohen Gadol from him, the Kuna from him, Chazal teach us, he gave it to Aaron's brother, fine. Now he's going to say, what's this act of Shemen? Shemen is anointing Aaron as Kohen Gadol. By the way, Moshe, not only are you losing the kahuna, not only using that you can be the Kohen Gadol, I want you to take the oil and anoint and make your brother the Kohen Gadol and his children the Kohen. Really? It's mamish like asking him to give the trophy to the winner. Seriously? How could you do such a thing? So comes along Reb Chaim Shalevis, Zeicher Tzadikas Rachel and Sichas Musar. It's in a piece entitled Sheves Achim Gam Yochar. If you want to learn it inside. He says, we all know the famous words of Tehillim. We know one pasuk because we sing it all the time. Hinei ma'atovu ma'anoyim Sheves Achim Gam Yochar. Hinei ma'atovu ma'anoyim Sheves Achim Gam Yochar. How wonderful, how pleasant when brothers sit together. Right? My friend Rav Simcha Sussman, who made a l'chaim for his daughter tonight, Mazel Tov to Rav Simcha. So he sings a song, Shalshal, Sinei, Matov, right? We all know. So what's the next line? The next line's not in the song, so it's not as mefursum, it's not as famous. Halavai, we say, if more psukim are songs, more mishnayas are songs. Next line is, Kishemen hayored ha-zakan zakan Aaron. Like the oil that drips down the beard of Aaron. That word zakan is repeated. It should have said the pasuk kishemen hayored al hazakan Aaron, like the oil that dripped down the beard of Aaron. What do you mean, like the oil that dripped down the beard of Aaron? Why repeat the word? It comes from Chayav Shalav, as he explains so beautifully. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu lost the kahuna, but it was given in the end to his brother Aaron. His brother was his best friend. His brother was one with him. It was kilu Hashem took it from his right leg and gave it to his left leg. It's all one. When the oil of anointment was dripping down the beard of Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu felt as if it was dripping down his own beard. I'm also being anointed. I'm one with you. I'm in the Kodesh Kedoshim with you. You're my brother. There was no feeling of disappointment or sadness because I'm just as happy for you as if I was the one doing this. I'm happy with you, not even for you. We're one. That's why the beard is repeated. One beard is the beard of Aaron, one beard is the beard of Moshe, but they were both being soaked, figuratively. Hashem was proving there could be such love in the world, there could be such oneness in the world, that I could have the losing team give a trophy to the winner and there's no hard feelings. It's besimcha rabba. Because we're one. Taking from one hand and giving to the other. It's all one. The oneness of Klal Yisrael, the oneness of one Yid for another Yid. The unity that we should have, the love that we should have. We allow such petty, minuscule things to separate us. And we allow us to judge others. And lo aleinu, God forbid, look down about others. Because we have such gaiva. We think so high of ourselves. I'm so amazing because I wear a hat. I'm so amazing because ich weiß nicht, I wear a white shirt and he doesn't. Who are you? Nobody knows. You know in their bonus shalom's eyes who's amazing, who's not amazing. You know what he's doing? B'chedrei chedarim. Nobody knows anybody. So we could judge anybody else. Could ever judge anybody else. We have to love every single Jew like ourselves. Care for every Jew. Be one with every Jew. Always. It was the most beautiful thing tonight. So I went to this game. MSIs was very long. 2.5 hours long. But you know what? I love my Tamidim. They're like my children. I get nachas from it. I do. And there's beautiful these games. The achdus of all the Tamidim cheering for their friends in such a beautiful way. It's really beautiful. I mean it. This corona is stripping that as well. I don't know if you, the Chevron YU, saw the newest update. It was just moments ago I saw it. You know, obviously we know my Talmidim, two Talmidim are playing tomorrow in the Division 3 dance, March Madness, right? Pinchas Ephraim Fischl was a member of the Shir. He used to come every week for a while, Pinchas Ephraim Fischl. The MVP of the championship of the Skyline. He was here till the season started, Hashem Yirachim. Then he had games and then he has other things. Whatever, it is what it is. But Lemaisa, he was here every week when he could be here. Stat lines like nobody else, this guy. We still remember his dunk in DRS. That was Amish legendary. legendary. Ah, Dukas was on the court. I'm sorry. Lemaisa, but you weren't the guy that was dunked over, so it's okay. You weren't postered over there. Lemaisa, you're in the picture. You are. I gotta go look at it. After share. And I have another alone. Jacobowitz is on the team as well. Two Talmidim Baruch Hashem on the team. Anyways, Lemaisa, they just came out. They're playing. So I thought it was something. It was something. Beautiful, they're going to play in Baltimore, and there'll be many Yidden, they'll be able to go. It's fine. Anyways, they just came out that they're having the game tomorrow. Zero spectators are allowed to come to the game. Zero spectators. Just came from John Hopkins. Could I check this while I'm doing? It's not going to lose the recording. I could go? I'll read you, John, let's see. What did I get over here?
John Hopkins University is pleased to be hosting the first two rounds in light of Maryland's recent confirmed cases of the corona. It's prudent to hold the tournament without spectators. So what again? Even the oneness of sports and the unity that comes together in Kali Yisrael by sporting events, stripping it. So we have to work on this. Achdus v'Reis. We have to be a yid like a Moshe Rabbeinu. A Moshe Rabbeinu who cares about his brother like he's one with him. And this is what Purim's all about. And clearly this is what we're being reminded. This Purim specifically. Clearly. Unlike an Achashverosh. See, Achashverosh, he only cares about himself. Where do we see? This is an amazing thing. It's very strange. You know, the very end of the Megillah, the very, very end of the Megillah is like a very strange ending. In the 10th parak of the Megillah, we know just three psukim. And they seem like out of nowhere. Like everything until there, the whole storyline of the Megillah, and how we defeat Haman, and the Geula, and everything's going great. And then like these last three psukim, like totally out of nowhere. And what does it tell us in parak Yud Pasuk Aleph? Vayasam HaMelech Achashverosh Masal Aretz. That Achashverosh goes and he puts taxes upon us. Like really, what's that doing here? Like why is that significant? Why is that important? What is happening at that time? What's going on? So an incredible idea. See, earlier in the Megillah, here it is, I'm just looking for it. Earlier in the Megillah, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, when Achashverosh marries Esther Amalka, the Pasuk says, Vayasa Melch Mishde Gadol, Chosar Vavadav, and Mishde Esther, Vahanochel Lamdinos. What does Vahanochel Lamdinos mean? Rashi said, Lichvoda Haniach Lemin Amas Shalem. Earlier in the Megillah, Achashverosh takes away all the taxes. Now, the very end of the Megillah, out of nowhere, seemingly insignificant. Remember, this Megillah is written by Mordechai and Esther for L'chol HaDoros. It's important to tell us that Achashverosh added a tax. Like, really? I always thought my whole life until this year, I just thought Pshat was, as we know, the Gemara Megillah tells us we don't say Halal on Purim because Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan. So we want that reminder. Similarly, you know, it's like Kilo breaking the glass at the chuppah. As besimcha as we are, don't forget, this is not a gula shlema yet. This is not a Beis HaMikdash yet. Achashverosh is still ruling over you. Achashverosh is still putting taxes upon you. I always thought that was why this is here at the end. You still have to yearn for gula shlema. But I saw this year, I think I saw this from Melech Biderman, if I'm not mistaken. Again, this wasn't a share, I plan to give, so I'm just bringing together ideas. But he said, you know what Pshat is? The whole lesson we said of the Megillah is to teach us Achdus v'Reis, Leich Kanosas Kol Yehudim. Who's going to be the opposite of that? The enemies of the story, Haman and Achashverosh. So Achashverosh, he takes away the mas. Why does he take away the mas from, you think it's because he's nice, doesn't care as much, and wants to make us happy? You know why he did it? Because he was trying to find out from Esther what her mulatita, where she came from, what her origin was. So he thought to himself, if I go and do these things on her behalf, she'd eventually give in. He was really just doing it for himself. Now, at the end of the Megillah, that's all over. He knows where she came from. He no longer needs to try to figure that out. Right away, now no longer could it, does it have any interest for him? No longer could it help him? He was only doing good for others for himself. He didn't really care for others. He wasn't really looking to give to others. We are to be the Nahapachu. We have to be people who love and care for others and have Achdus v'Reis and are giving to others because we, as we all know the famous Torah from Michtam Eliyahu, where Ahava, true love, is rooted in Hav. If I truly love you, I want to give to you. I want you to be happy. I'm happy with you. I'm happy for you. And it was incredible. Tonight at Senior Chizuk, right before Senior Chizuk began, one of the best players on the team, who happens to be a super mensch and a Balmidos and a Ben Torah, amazing kid. Love him. When he walks in, we have senior chizuk, so we, you know, at the beginning, where some of the chavra members, a lot of guys used to be there back in the day, so we have some cholent and we're eating. And he walked in as right a few minutes, like right when I was about to start giving over Torah. And what happened, by the way, another player on the team was the guy who won the, who scored the winning goal. And he comes over to me and he says, Rebbe, you have no idea how happy I am for this other guy. Brings me such simcha that he scored this goal. I'm so happy for him. It's so great. Not talking at all about his happiness that he won. This guy himself is a major part of the team and had a lot to do with the win. He's so happy for Yenim, for his friend, and for how much simcha the friend will have. It was so beautiful. It was mamish so beautiful. That's the achdus reis that we, each and every one of us, needs to have. To care for others. To give of ourselves for others. You know, if you want to learn how to be this type of person, I greatly suggest that you read, and maybe some of you have read this before, and if you've read it already, it's a good time to do chazara on it. The book Holy Brother. Holy Brother is all stories about Rav Shlomo Karbach. It was written by Yidda Halperstam, who's the one who wrote all the Small Miracles books. She writes a book, Holy Brother, all stories about Rav Shlomo. And it's mamash sefer that's Kodesh Kedoshim. I don't know of any sefer that you could learn more from what it means to be a caring, giving, empathetic person to others. I know personally, till today, I find myself doing things that I only am doing because I read that book. And I think to myself what Rav Shlomo Karbach would have done in such a situation. Things that I wouldn't be able to have done on my own if I didn't read it from that there was someone like Rav Shlomo Karbach that did these things. It was, by the way, Nisim, how I came to this book originally. The first time I read this book, Baruch Hashem, incredible. I was, you see how everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in every scenario, in every situation? Kol Ma'adav Rachman Al-Tav Avid. Years and years and years ago, it was the first time in my life that I had to separate from my wife for Shabbos. I had an ufruf of a very close friend, and my wife had a bar mitzvah of a very close family friend. We both felt that we had to be at these, and they were in different communities, and we both went separately. First time in our lives that we separated for Shabbos. Remember, it was hard, you know, Baruch Hashem, something very special. Okay, now it's something, you know, whenever I go to Israel, it is what it is. But Baruch Hashem, you get used to it, I guess. It's not the same hard. Because I'm going back home there to Israel. Pretty much no other reason that we separate for Shabbos, right? Or she went to Israel a few weeks ago, Baruch Hashem. Anyways, so we separate, okay. So we're there, it was the beginning, it was October time. And I was put in this community, I was put in this community in a house no one was in the house. And like eight of the chassan's friends were put in this house. I think I was the only married guy, it was like seven single guys, and we were staying in this house. Friday night was beautiful, beautiful minyan, beautiful sudo, Shabbos day, Shabbos lunch. And I remember I was talking to the chassan for a while after lunch. So I got back later. He walked me back to the house. And then when I got right near the house, he left. And I'm walking into this house. I never forget to say, I walk in. And it was a very diverse group of guys that I was staying with. But I was definitely very blown away what I saw when I walked in. I didn't expect this definitely from some of the guys. And it was October time. And there was a Yankee playoff game on. And that's Shabbos afternoon, and all the guys, I walked in this house, you walked straight into like the living room, and all of the guys were sitting around watching this game. I mean, vada, they had a guy turned around, I don't know, but Lamaisa, I mean, just to see this was very sad. It was, so immediately I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Now I'm in this community, I don't want to mention even what community it was, if anyone put together the story, what it was, and I had no idea, I didn't know this community at all. I wouldn't even know how to get to my friend's house or to the shul or anywhere.
like without other people. Like I mamish didn't know my way around. So what am I? I have nowhere to go. It was like a few hours to Mincha. So I immediately like make a beeline. I just quickly just walk through, and there was steps going up to where my room where I was staying, and I go straight upstairs to the room. And now I'm in the room, and I'm like stuck. I'm a prisoner in the room basically because I'm not gonna. And I don't know what to do. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I didn't have anything with me, really. And I could have taken a nap. I'm like, I wasn't in the mood to take a nap. I wasn't tired. And I saw on the shelf this book, Holy Brother. I never heard of this book, Holy Brother, before. I didn't even know what it was. And I'm in like somebody else's house, in somebody's room, and I see this Holy Brother. I pull it off the shelf. I lay down. And for the next 3 hours, I read like most of the book. And it changed my life forever. Forever. I still to this day find myself doing things because of this book. It's mamish. If you haven't read it yet, you have a chiyuv gomer. Chiyuv gomer. I mamish mean it. It's just an incredible book when it comes to Meiran B'chaveru. So one story in the book, one of the most influential stories in my life. Shlomo Karbach was in the early 1970s. It's a famous story of Shlomo. Maybe some of you heard this before, but it's worth hearing Chazaras. It was the early 1970s. And in Buffalo, New York, they were going to have a concert for Lag BaOmer. And who was supposed to sing at the concert? Moshe Yes. Most of the Chever knows Moshe Yes. Moshe Yes is the Yid who wrote the song, The Ninth Man on the Team. Rebbe used to teach us Torah, right? That's Moshe Yes. He also wrote I'm a Hippopotamus from the Marvelous Midos Machines. There you go. Anyways, Lameisa, he was supposed to give this concert. What the Svardim don't know from listening, when you grew up, you didn't listen to Marvelous Midos Machines?
Midos.
Did you guys have like Uncle Moshe, or do you have your Svardi ones?
What?
Oh, yeah. It was scary. Anyways. So Moshe Yes was supposed to give this concert. And something happened, if I'm not mistaken, maybe he hurt himself in some way. He couldn't, he had to cancel a few days before. And they already sold tickets, they're excited for the concert. They don't know what to do. They decide they're going to try. They decide he's probably already booked, but they'll call Reb Shlomo Karbach, see if he's available somehow. And they call Reb Shlomo. And Reb Shlomo, he was originally booked, and it was canceled on him that night. Just a few days prior, and he ended up, he was free. He said, I'm available. So they're very excited. So he said to them, knew how much are you paying? So they were going to, again, this is early 1970s. We can't comprehend what money was then. It's nothing like today. They said we're going to pay Moshe Yes $700. So Shlomo says, listen, when I give a concert, I usually make a few thousand dollars. And I could use the money. So they said to him, listen, if you come, we'll probably sell a lot more tickets. He was the biggest thing in Jewish music in all of history since David HaMelech. So, and we're not looking for profit here. We're not looking to make money. We just want Ruchnius Dik Lag BaOmer. Whatever profit we make, we'll give you. All the money, it's all yours. I'm sure it'll be worth your while. And Reb Shlomo agreed. He comes, he gives a concert. Reb Shlomo gave it. It's not like today's concerts, you know. We go to a concert, Jewish, non-Jewish, whatever you go to, and you have your set list, Chveis Nisht. You have your set list. There are a lot of people listening. I'm not talking about the chevra in the room. And you have your set list. And then, you know, it's part of the whole act. They have to go off, and then you have to cheer, and they'll come back and do the encore. They have the two more songs. It was funny, when we were by myself and Yisrael Meir, when Yishai Ribo gave a beautiful kumzit to Matzei Shabbos about maybe 6 weeks ago here in the neighborhood. So, like, he played for maybe an hour and a half. And then he plays one last song and he walks off. And like, nobody did much. People were like shocked. They thought he was going to play a little more. And then he like says in Hebrew to everyone, like, don't you know what this is? You're supposed to clap now so I can come back and do the encore, you know? It was very funny. But Lameisa, he came back, he did the encore. It was beautiful. Sure, that's when he did the whole tanz. Lameisa, Yeah, there's that concert. It goes 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Shlomo Carbach, he'd give it wasn't concerts. He was giving life. He was giving Torah. He was telling stories. He was sharing Torah. He'd go 5 hours straight, 6 hours straight, till 3 in the morning, till 4 in the morning. Sometimes the whole chevra would follow him back to his hotel room. They'd continue all night till Shachris. It wasn't about like my set list because I'm making this amount of money. It was... So he went on Chesed till 2, 3 in the morning. And he finishes the concert in Buffalo, New York, and everybody's giving hugs and thanking him. The president of the shul comes over, who's in charge of the concert, comes over, and he says, Rav Shlomo, thank you so much, it was incredible, give him a big hug. And he hands him $2,700 cash. A wad of cash, says, this is all the money we made, I told you it's all yours. Rav Shlomo gives him a big hug, my holy brother, thank you so much. You have no idea, I owe a few months rent, this is going to be able to pay it off. And he got paid. A few minutes later, a guy looks chassid looking, chasnish, comes over to Reb Shlomo, and he says, Reb Shlomo, could you give me a bracha and shalom bayis? Reb Shlomo looks at him, he says, my brother, what do you need such a bracha for? What's wrong? He says, well, I'll tell you the truth. I have my wife and myself, we used to have the most incredible shalom bayis for years. He used to have a very good job and make a good parnasa. About a year ago, we became Shomer Shabbat. We became Shomer Shabbos. We started keeping kosher, Baruch Hashem, through Chabad. Of course. And because of that, you know, this was Buffalo, New York in the early 70s. He lost his job because he wouldn't work on Shabbos. And he couldn't find a good job. And they were suffering financially. And it caused a lot of stress in the family. And a lot of fights. That's what he told Reb Shlomo. Reb Shlomo looked at him, and Reb Shlomo said, I'm not going to give you a bracha. I don't know how much my bracha is worth anyways. But of course, I'll help you. And he puts his hand in his pocket. And he doesn't just give him a chesed nesh, $100, which would have been an incredible amount for a yid you met 5 minutes ago. Every penny, $2,700. Every penny that he himself needed to pay his rent for the last few months. He gave every penny. He just hands him the whole wad of cash. He says, here, I'm sure you could use this more than I can. And he gives it all to him. You know what type of yid that is? Caring about another yid. Loving another yid. Giving to another yid. Not judging another yid. That's the achdus and reis we need. That's the achdus and reis of Purim. That's the love, the care that we have to give. And it's not just giving. A lot of us in this room, we're not financially secure yet that we could give so much money. But are we giving our time? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about giving meiser of your time to others. Giving to others, caring for others, learning Torah. You know, Baruch Hashem, by definition, those of us in this room, we understand how important learning is. We wouldn't be here this late at night on Erev Shabbos Kodesh if we didn't. But how many friends do we have that no longer have that tam shel Torah and are struggling? When was the last time we reached out to one of our friends and Nitzadik, can we learn a little bit? Let's set up a chavrusa. And yeah, it's a guy that doesn't learn so much, so it's not going to be on the same high level that you could learn during that time. And you're taking out of your own time a half hour a day, an hour a day. That's what it's about, man. To give to others, to care for their gashmias, to care for their ruchnias. You know, I'll never forget a conversation that I had years ago. I have to find it. I have this conversation on video with Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Years ago, this was when I was only a few years into teaching, but I started with something I never... When I went into chinuch, I didn't realize and recognize the incredible amount of time that chinuch is, and that every year it's just exponentially more and more and more Talmidim, and more and more and more Talmidim reaching out, and more Talmidim trying on some level to, if possible, be proactive with and care for and give to. So where's their time left in the day for one's own learning? So I went to Reb Chaim, I figured, who's the person in the world that I know of that probably cares more and loves more learning Torah and appreciates that more than anyone in the world? Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that he's the perfect person to ask. Because I was struggling at the time, how much should I be learning myself? Because any time I'm learning myself, I'm pretty much taking away from time I could be giving Talmidim and spending with Talmidim and giving to Talmidim and caring for Talmidim and Talmidot. So this is exactly how the conversation went. I'm going to say it over in English. It happened in Hebrew, but I'm going to say it over in English now. So I went to Reb Chaim and I explained to him that I'm a Rebbe and I have a lot of talmidim and I'm giving a lot of time. And I'm struggling figuring out how much time I should be learning myself. This is years ago when you were able to really have a longer conversation with Chaim. He looks at me and he says, all of that is also in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's how he started. So I looked at Reb Chaim and I said, Rebbe, again, I said this in the best way I can in Hebrew, but maybe Rebbe didn't fully understand. My Talmidim, you know, I'm not saying they're coming to me with asking me shailas on Tosfos and Rebbe Kiv Eiger always. You know, a lot of the, I explained to him that a lot of the conversations, I wouldn't necessarily call Inyane Kedusha necessarily even. You know, and I explained to him that a little bit. So he looks at me and he says, this is also a very big mitzvah. This is also a very big mitzvah. So then I said, Rebbe, if I answered every single phone call and did all I was doing with me, then I would have no time to learn at all. So I understand how much time should I be being most nervous to make sure that I should still be learning? How much time should I be learning myself? And he looks at me and what his answer to me was, just try to learn a little. Again, I don't know exactly, to this day I don't know exactly what that amount is. And I still struggle with it, trust me. I still struggle with that balance. But what it told me was from Reb Chaim Kanievsky that most important in my life is to give to others. Most important in my life is to care for others. And to give over Torah to others, give over Chizik to others, give over Soros to others, to do Chesed for others. That's the most important thing. More important than whatever I could do for myself is to do for others. That's what I took out of that conversation. And every single one of us needs to live such a life. And not just the people that we like. Every single Yid, every single Jew, and whether they're hashkafically one with us or not hashkafically one with us, we have to have this level of achdus v'reis. And I heard from a Talmud I'm very close to, I love, who Eli Portel, Rabbi Eli Portel, Heilige Yid, those who know Eli Portel, he was speaking somewhere recently, this past Shabbos, maybe, I don't know if you were there, were you home this past Shabbos? He went home, he spoke in North Woodmere in your shul this past Shabbos, I think, right? Yeah. So he spoke this past Shabbos by Rabbi Leibowitz's shul. He gave a shal shudas to the teenagers. And he said over, you know, it's interesting, we're learning, hopefully some of us are learning Masechet Megillah these days. Shem Yishmuel says the most important way to prepare for Yontiv is learn the Masechet of the Yontiv. So we have to be learning Megillah these days. So we know in the Megillah we have at the beginning of the first parak all the Ein Beins. Ein Bein, Ein Bein this, Ein Bein, right? You have all the Ein Beins. It starts off Ein Bein Purim and Shushan Purim, and then it goes off on a tangent on all the different Ein Beins, right? Ein Bein Amoder Na Mechaver, Amoder Men Machel, Ein Bein Adarim Len Adavos, Ben Zav Rosh Teres Yisrael Rosh Shlosh. Why is that? Yes, why is that so important? That's here had to end up in Masechet Megillah, the Ein Beins. These Ein Beins could be in any Masechet. There could have been some other tangent. They're not. They themselves, most of the Ein Beins have nothing to do with Purim. Have nothing to do with Megillah. Okay, it's a tangent from it started off in that way, but it could have been somewhere else. Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Kippurim. So he wanted to suggest the reason is to remind us Ein Bein, there's no difference between us. Ein Bein. All of Purim is to bring us back to Leich Kanosis Kol Yehudim. Purim is to have the Achdus V'Reis, to give Shachmanos, Matan Zvionim, to be one. And not to be judgmental. Ein Bein! So I heard over, that's what he said. I called him up. I said, Mamish, you're machavin to all of Purim. Because what's the whole entire avod of Purim? Ad Yada Bein. Ad Lo Yada Bein. Until you don't know there's any Bein. There's nothing in between. There's no difference between us. Even Adeloy the Ben Baruch Mordechai Lahamon, Achaz Vekama Vekama. There's no difference between me or some Chassid in Williamsburg or some Tzioni in Yerushalayim or Chveznish, some whatever you want to say. We're all one. We're all one. And we have to believe it. Ein Bein. Adeloyada Bein. We have to reach a level on Purim. I don't know any Bein. There's nothing in between, nothing separating us. So Eli said back, and I think he said this over last Shabbos also, just told to me, but he said back, Stama, that's the Olai Avodah, and we're in costumes as well. We're negating ourselves. We can't judge each other how we look. We all know it's all a facade. It's all a costume. Stop looking at each other and judging each other. Be one. Have the proper achdus and reis. Have the leich kanos as kol yehudim. So chevrei, I believe strongly. I'm not sure where this is going to go and how long it's going to continue, this whole coronavirus. There's no question we have to do a cheshben and nefesh. There's no question it's uprooting a certain level of achdus reis, and specifically from the Heilig Yontov of Purim. So our avodah is to bring it back. Our avodah is to bring back the unity in Klal Yisrael, the oneness in Klal Yisrael, to have Avas Yisrael, to love every single Yid. Every single Yid. You know, there's a story. Rav Shach saw Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, Zecher Tzadikos Vracha, walking to his apartment. And he sees him walking up the steps of his apartment. And he goes in and he walks right back out and down. And he asked him what happened. Rav Shach asked him what happened. Mrs. Ammesser was his Rebbe, was his uncle also, right? What happened? What happened to the Rebbe? Went all the way up and then came down. He went up, he said. When he walked in, the housekeeper, the help that he had in the house, he heard her singing a song. So he knew, obviously, the moment she would see him, she'd stop singing. Kalisha, right? But he said to himself, if she's singing a song, she's getting hanah from that song. She's enjoying the oineg, the pleasure of that song. So I immediately walked out. I don't want her to not have that pleasure, that hanah. Rav Yisrael Meltzer was tzaddik yisoid olam. He clearly, if he's going up to his apartment, it was important that he went up to his apartment for some reason. But then another yid who is having hanah and enjoying a moment, I don't want to stare that hanah. What a lev, what a heart for another Jew. That's the heart we have to have for every single yid. Whether they're similar to us hashkafically, whether they're not similar to us hashkafically, whether they're on any level of religiosity, whether they agree with their mindset, we don't agree with their mindset. We have to love them and give to them and care for them and bring back the achdus and reis in Klal Yisrael. Bring back the mindset of the yid in Edison, New Jersey, the love and the caring and the oneness and the non-judgmental attitude. We have to bring that back to all of our communities. Maybe then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look and say, I don't need to give them any more reminders to take away their unity and take away their achdus and reis. I don't have to uproot their Purim. I don't have to even uproot their achdus that they have by their ball games that he's doing. Remember, this is all from the Eibishter. Everything's from the Eibishter. It's not a chesnish from China and from the bats and from this. Everyone, it's from the Eibishter. And it's a message to all of us. To reevaluate them back to the basics of Achdus V'Reis. The Achdus V'Reis, which was V'Yichin Yisrael Neged Arkish Achad V'Lev Achad, that we were able to receive the Torah. And surely that's going to be the Achdus V'Reis that will bring that Geula Shlema. And not just be a Kati Avdei Achashverosh Shanan, not just be a Yontav Purim where we don't say Hallel, but it will be already this year. Because Purim Baruch Hashem is going to be, Chazal tells us, going to be celebrated even after Binyan Beis HaMikdash, after Mashiach Lekenu. But hopefully this year we'll have a Purim where we could sing a Hallel. Because it won't be any longer Akati Avdei Achashverosh Shanan. It won't be any longer that we're stuck in Chutz Laretz. As much as we might like Trump compared to Chavis Nish to anybody else, we want Mashiach. We want Pesa Migdash. We want the Gula Shlema. And if we all know Churban by Hashemi, it was because of Sinas Chinam. It's this Achtas and Reyes of Purim. That through that will be Zaych, the Gula Shlema, with B'Shiach. Mehera b'yameinu b'karav mamash. Amen.